We are. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. And at various times, in various places, we all have opportunities to be light. And it should be our desire to be light. And if we will trust the Lord to take care of the dark areas around us and be more concerned about being a light elsewhere, we may just find that all of these things are added to us. Now, on Wednesday night, we talked about riding prosperously. And the scripture was from Psalm 45, verse 4. It says, and in your majesty ride prosperously because of truth, humility, and righteousness, and your right hand shall teach you awesome things. And something that came out in the message was that the Lord is our majesty. So in your majesty ride prosperously. It's interesting that oftentimes, and we all know this, but we're just going to settle it in our own hearts so that we are not defeated in this, okay? In the fact that God desires that we ride prosperously in His majesty. It's crazy for, quote, the church to say we've got to help the poor if we don't have anything to help them with. God certainly doesn't want us to rob banks in order to help them. There is no sin in prospering. If someone thinks there is a sin in prospering, then someone needs to take that up with Jesus before they open their mouth and talk against what the Lord talked for. And we agreed that everybody wants to prosper somehow, some way. A starving person wants to prosper in getting food. Little children without shoes who are getting hookworm want to prosper in getting shoes. Well, would it be right to say to them, shoes is all the further you can go? Or would it be best to say to them, these shoes are from Jesus, and if you walk in these shoes, you can go to another level, where not only will you have shoes, but you can get shoes for somebody else? The Lord, this is a prophetic word, speaking of the Lord, saying, Jesus, ride prosperously. And Jesus came and said, as the Father sent me, so I send you. So we need to be adamant about what God wants. And that's what we've been talking about, standing. Stand up straight on your feet. The Apostle Paul saw that the man had faith to be healed and said to him, stand up straight on your feet. And the man stood up and he walked. He didn't stand up and say, now what do I do? He walked. Mary had a great illustration for us that for her mother to learn to walk again, she had to get her butt under control. Christians, get your butts under control. Now, but is this really what God means? Is it what God says? Man, get religion out. Get it out. Beat it out with a baseball bat. Do something to get religion out of your head so that you can get relationship free in your head. Because if you don't, you are not going to be standing. You're going to be shaken. I was listening to a message, and the message was James Robinson. He was talking about having gone to visit with Billy Graham. And Billy Graham is in really, really, really dire straits at this point. He's got like three attendants that get him from place to place, and he can process something that's said to him, but it takes quite a while for him to answer. And James Robinson said he went to talk to him and tell him, thank you for all you did for the kingdom of God. Billy, first thing Billy said to him, don't get old, James. Don't get old. I'm going to get old. And when I can't move, I say, Lord, kill me. Take me. Please take me. Don't kill me. Take me. I'll die. I'd be glad to be like a Moses. But, you know, to stay strong, the Bible says that we can. And so that's what we expect. But anyway, James just said he wanted to ask him. He said, do you think with all the turmoil and everything that's gone on in the economy and everything that's going on, he asked him, do you think it'll be enough? And he said it took him a while, but his response was, I don't think so. He said, "Do you think it's going to take more?" And Billy Graham's response after a considerable amount of time was, "I'm afraid so." And as I pondered that, listening to the message, immediately the word came into my head, only those things which can be shaken will be shaken. And so we have looked at that scripture that says everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And we always looked at it from the standpoint of there's a whole lot of shaking going on. Everybody's going to be shaken up. It's going to be a terrible thing. Get ready. Crawl into a hole somewhere. Take your groceries with you and wait for Jesus to come and sneak you out. But the Lord said to me in a different way. He said, only the things that can be shaken will be shaken. And I said, God, anything in my life that can be shaken, show it to me now. Because the thing that I got from the Holy Spirit was, shake it out yourself. If you're under the covers and all of a sudden you feel bugs crawling all over you coming out of the covers, are you going to lay there till somebody else shakes it out, or are you going to get up and shake that blanket out yourself? Oh no, I just lay here and I'll be miserable until somebody else comes and shakes it. The Lord's going to come and shake it. You're going to go crazy before the Lord comes and shakes it. You got enough brains to shake it out yourself, right? And if you can't get them all shaken out, you're not going to crawl under them again, are you? You'll leave that blanket hanging in the wind. And if hanging in the wind doesn't help, burn it. You'll do anything to get rid of that. At least I think so. Not many people are interested in laying under a blanket full of bugs. Are they?
No.
I don't know anybody that is. Okay? So that was the thing that you know, because it can be a thing that just discourages you and gives you no hope if you believe that, well, we're just waiting around for the Lord to jerk the rug out from everybody. Well, I believe that everybody that stands on the rug and says, I'm waiting for this rug to be jerked out from under me, will get what they want, because the power of life and death are in your tongue. But I believe those who receive the Word of God and graft it and believe what the Lord say will do what Jesus said. Jesus said, you pray that you can escape that. Who wants to go down in the hole when the earth opens up? And who wants to stand far back with a rope to try to help people out of being fallen in that hole? Well, a wise person wants to be back to help those that are falling into a hole. A wise person will seek the Lord and know how to be in that place. Folks, there are people all over this world that are falling in holes every day. There are people going through shakings every day. You've had different things that have shaken you from time to time. As Vicki shared the challenge, and she said she hasn't got the check mark yet. You know? She might be going along real, real good, and man, I'm going to get it today, and then, this man that you have given me, Lord. Yes, if we lived in caves where there was no one else, we might get the check mark on a daily basis. But God didn't empower us to live in a cave with nobody else. He empowered us to be in the world, but not of the world. He empowered us to be more than conquerors through Christ who strengthened us. He empowered us to be lights. And so the question, the thing is are we going to be standing or are we going to be shaken? I'm telling you that the church, quote, the church that the world thinks is the church, is going to be shaken. But there's getting to be more and more visibility of those who will not be shaken. Of those who will stand on the Word of God. Of those who will stand up straight on their feet and say, you know something? I found something God said. And what God says overrides everything that every man has ever thought of up to this point, if those things that the man thought of exalt themselves against what God says. Because God said it. We've seen the thing that everybody thinks makes the world go round, finances, shaking like crazy. Now, finances are gravy on the potatoes. They're wonderful. And finances are necessary. But our nation never thought that our nation would ever be in a financial sort of a crisis that it's in. But I believe that the people that are standing on God's Word are watching the crisis, not taking part in the crisis. And even if parts have been touched by the crisis, those parts are not the main part. Because we're putting our confidence in the Lord and in His Word. It's a sad thing when a nation is in crisis and the church is standing by saying, it's about time, I'm going to hammer you down, wait till God gets done with you, you think this is something. How is that going to give anybody any hope? That's not helping anybody out of a hole. That's standing back with a stick and shoving people in that are standing on the edge of the hole thinking about staying out of the hole and looking for something. No. It's you got this problem. You deserve to be by the hole. And let me just help you. Shove you in. You deserve it. Hey, I hear that. I mean, that's basically what they're saying. It's about time God did something. I refuse to say that God did any of it. Because I've asked Him and I've asked Him and I've asked Him. And mostly I hear religious people saying God did it. But I don't hear people with the relationship with the Lord standing around saying, ooh, God's got a bigger plan in mind. Because I believe that people who seek the Lord and that know the Lord look in the Lord's Word and say, you know something? When God does it, it'll be a whole lot more obvious. What's happening now is a result of open doors to problems. What's happening now would be like taking the screen off your windows when the mosquitoes are swarming. And then saying, oh, God filled my house with mosquitoes. Yes. Doors have opened. And problems have come. But those who would live godly will do exploits. How can the church enjoy the exploits if they're busy enjoying the way that the devil is exploiting people? These people that are having problems, folks, are people that Jesus Christ died for. These people that are caught up in the whirlwind, they're people that Jesus Christ died for. They're people that we need to pray for. They're people that we need to care about. Not be glad that they're finally learning their lesson. The Lord needs to be exalted. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all people unto me. Who is going to want to come to a God who we say, He got you finally? Well, if He's doing this to me, I don't want Him. Even a dog has enough sense after you kick him to stay away for a little while. Now, after a while, they'll come back hoping maybe there's a chance for a pet. But right after you kick them, they back off. The church needs to quit kicking and be standing. And that's why the Lord has us talking about standing up on our feet, standing up in our faith, being established in our faith so that we will be the light that the Lord intended that if we stand up in our faith, if we stand up straight on our feet, that then we will see the kingdom of God, remember, accelerated in our lives. And when the kingdom of God is accelerating around you, that kingdom of God is going to touch other people. We should expect it. We should expect that when there is shaking, that there will be a firm place for us, where we cannot be shaken. Because otherwise, we'll be just shaking like everybody else. Just holding on to the hope that the Lord will rescue us and take us to heaven. I want you to take this the right way, okay? But you're going to be useless in heaven compared to how you can be used here. You will not have to encourage anyone in heaven. You will not have to be more of a conqueror in heaven. You will not have to be built up in your faith, nor will you need to help anyone else in their faith in heaven. You will not prosper anyone in heaven, because everyone in heaven will be enjoying all of the success that you can have. They'll be there. So compared to what you can do on this earth, you will be useless in heaven. Because what you will be doing in heaven, you better be doing here. Praising the Lord. Rejoicing in the Lord at all times. Giving thanks to the Lord. You better be doing that here anyway. So the only thing that's going to change when you get to heaven is you ain't going to have much to do but praise the Lord. And that's why we need to be praising the Lord at all times. Blessing the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Why? Because I know my God reigns. The only way to stand is in Christ. In the truth. For the truth. On the truth. And so we've got to be standing truthfully. So we need to know the truth. And if you know the truth, you'll be free and you'll be able to make other people free. So the things that come out of our mouths will be the truth. Like Vicky said in their challenge, if you can't say the truth, just don't say anything. Now, to me, the ultimate truth, the best thing to say, is God is good. That'll give you time to think about the rest of the truth. No matter what the circumstance, God is good. God is good. Now, if we really believe that, then we're going to have an answer for the people who say, well, if God is good, why is He doing all of these things? Well, if you happen to believe that He's doing everything He can to wreck our nation and wreck the world, you're going to have a hard time explaining to them how God can be good and at the same time wrecking everything. Oh, no, 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 not a problem. I can just say, but He's God. He can do whatever He wants to do. Yes, He is God, and He can do whatever He wants to do. But He's going to do what He wants to do according to what He said He wants to do. So when we're convinced that God is good, then our response will be a simple one. You know, I don't know everything about the goodness of God, but I know that if I seek Him, He can show me the way. Last night, we were coming home from doing a wedding in Chamberlain, and we're coming back, and Vicky programmed Maggie. Isn't that what we call her? Is it Maggie? We know how to get home from Chamberlain. But, you know, the assistant that tells you how to get places, you know. Take a left here, take a right there. You know, well, by the time we finally got on the road, we had her so confused she wouldn't even recalculate. She was just silent. I felt kind of bad for her, you know. Just, you know. But you know, she didn't say anything after a while. Now, she told us to go some pretty strange places, but we knew better. Vicki was saying, boy, I'm glad I'm not listening to her. You know what? There's a whole lot of Christians that need to not listen to who they've been listening to, because they're telling them to go every wrong direction. But after a long period of silence, thinking, even Maggie had enough sense. All of a sudden, it was like, ding, I know where I am. Take a right and proceed. And then she was on track, man. Once we hit Four Thompson, she knew how to get us home. She was ready. We hit Highmore, take a left, because we had Grandma's address. Take a left. And when we got there, they said, you have arrived. She was so excited, I felt good for her. Well, I don't know. I know she's just a machine. But I even feel bad for machines that are confused, you know? I don't want to confuse anyone. That's why I preach real simple truth. God's good. And are we going to be standing or shaking? Are you standing or are you shaking? Are you standing in this? Are we looking? You know, people talk about the Heine flu. That's what I call it, the Heine flu. Get behind me. H1N1. It's a Heine flu. It belongs behind me. It just doesn't need to have any part of me. But I'm telling you, we got people. There's people in this world, I absolutely am confident of it, that if they sniff, they declare that they have it. Oh, I'm getting that. And then they keep getting that until they've got that. And then they will begin to confess, I probably die from it. And if they do it long enough, they probably will. Because the power of life and death are in their tongues. You have the power to be patient. Love is patient. You have the power. It's in you. You have the power to stand. If you establish in your heart, I'm standing. I'm not shaking. And when something is shaking, I know where to stand. I know a rock solid place. I know one who cannot be moved. I am like a tree planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. I will be prosperous. I will be in health, even as my soul prospers. I will not agree with what the news says. I will not agree with anything that says that God is not great and that God is not greater than anything that comes against me. I will not be shaken by anything because no weapon formed against me can prosper. We've got to be standing on these things. These are the foundations. These are the truths. We've got to be standing on them unshakable, immovable. And then in our majesty, the Lord Jesus Christ riding prosperously, successfully, overcoming, not overcome, beating down, not being beaten down by things. Somebody sent me a video, and it was a YouTube hookup, and this person was in there, and this person was, I'm sure, maybe kind of sort of sincere, but this person was talking about how they were in the military, and they knew that they were putting their life at risk, but they felt they had to tell this about how they're going to make everyone take a flu shot, and when you get this flu shot, you're going to get a little chip instilled in you, and it's going to track you, and pretty soon you're going to have to have proof that you had the shot, or they're going to take you away to concentration camps. And I mean, she was just really, really caught up in this, and it was, and this was a Christian thing, so you Christians look out, it's like it's going to be the mark of the beast and this and that and the other thing. And then she did another one just 10 minutes later. And in the next one, the first thing I noticed was that she had a big shoe in her lip. I'm sitting, I'm going. And pretty soon she says, yes, I am dipping. I tried to quit, but I haven't been able to quit. because this has me so upset that I'm doing that. And I'm sitting, I'm going, now you're telling me that you've got this word from the Lord, and the Lord is not powerful enough to deliver you from that. She lost a lot of credibility with me. Okay? God's powerful. God delivers from everything. He's able. If you don't believe that, and if you don't take advantage of that, then you are shakable. And you are going to be shaken like crazy. I don't care what you say, you're going to be shaken. But when you take authority over whatever it is that comes against you in the name of Jesus, and you walk in victory, you're not shakable anymore. And you don't want to be shakable. You want to be standing. Because you want to be standing, able to lead others in victory in Christ Jesus. And so, as I started out to say, we are in a wonderful place to stand on the goodness of God and to be a revelation of others that, hey, I have a victory only because of Jesus, and now I can help you in your victory. I am not fearful because of a victory that I have in Jesus, and I can help you with your fear. I don't doubt because I've got the doubt out, because I know when I doubt, I lock myself out. And I don't scoff because I know if I scoff at what the Lord says, I cut myself off. If someone wants to scoff at God being a blesser, they can live without blessings. He'll let them. I don't want to live without the Lord's blessing. Do you want to live without the Lord's blessing? If you don't believe that the Lord wants to prosper you, then everything that you have, give it away. And have nothing. We're going to have a drive here pretty soon. We'll make sure you got shoes. So you'll have shoes. Might even, if you don't mind, go a little further and make sure you have clothes too, because we don't want you standing around naked in your new shoes. Sounds facetious, doesn't it? But hey, if that's the way it is, that's the way it ought to be, shouldn't it? God's either good or God isn't good. We're either going to stand in that, or we're going to stand in lack and loss and pain and suffering and doubt and fear and the wringing of the hands, and we'll confess ourselves into a grave, into terrible sickness before the grave, into whatever. We can turn it into anything that we want to. But if you abide in me, Jesus said, and my words abide in you, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So don't let the times and the signs of the times and the news and anything else that exalts itself against the knowledge of God entrap and ensnare you. Don't let it put you into the shaker and shake you up. Don't be drunken with the dregs of the nonsense. But be full of the Holy Ghost. Make a determination that anything that is shakable, anything that you're not steady in, anything that you are not rock solid on the Lord in, is going to be battened down. You're watching Florida. You know, you have to wonder, why in the world do those people live there when they're on a regular basis, they board up their windows and expect to get hit? And they think it's bad in South Dakota. We live in paradise, man. But you think about that. But the fact of the matter is, the smart people, they got all their stuff ready. Just normal. Got the little deals, cover up the windows. They're ready for it. You got something better than things to close up your windows. You can shut the windows of doubt, shut the windows of fear, shut the windows of all of those things that the Lord brings against you. And you can stand and say, you know something? Though all around me be shaking, I will not be shaken. Not only will I not be shaken, but I will be a person who can bring people in and batten them down on the sure foundation of Jesus Christ. I'll be an example to the believers and of a believer to the world. So that the world, when the world is looking for a refuge, I'll know where the refuge is, and I'll welcome them to a refuge. Not to a place where I'm going to beat them a couple of times to make sure they've got sense before I let them in, but I'm going to welcome them into the kingdom of God. had a picture from the Lord, a word picture, mental picture. But the Lord said to me, remember, you can't save anyone. That's the Holy Spirit's work. He convicts the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. But he said, the sad thing is there are multitudes of people who have got their tickets. They got their ticket to heaven, but no place to get on the train. No train station. No place that's really taking them where the Lord wants to take them. Consequently, pretty soon, they don't even keep track of their ticket anymore. And they fade away. He said, it's up to us as Christians to be train stations for them. To be places where they can get on the train and ride in the truth. So that they're not just standing around with a ticket. We all know this. We know there's people that committed their life somewhere to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're standing around with a ticket, and they don't know anything about it. And for some of them, that's the best thing that could happen, because if they go some places, they're going to find out that that ticket ain't something they really want anyway. They don't want to get on that train, man. God help me. If I'd have tried to survive in a religious train, I'd have been back at the bars where it was fun. The presence of God is awesome. The joy of the Lord is our strength. People need to have not just their ticket, but they need to know every place that that ticket takes them. The church can be standing when everything else is shaking. And what better time for people to come into the kingdom of God than when they're shaking, when everything that they thought would never fail them is failing them, and they're looking for hope. Folks, you have that hope. You have those gifts. You've got those treasures in an earthen vessel. You've got something that the world needs, but you've got to be standing on it strongly yourself. And when you do, you, like Jesus, will lead many sons to glory. Many people. So be prepared to stand. Don't plan on shaking. Plan on being a rock-solid thing to interrupt the shaking that other people are going through. Don't rejoice in other people shaking. Don't rejoice when people are learning their lessons. That's putrid. That's pitiful. If that were biblical, then Jesus would have gone out there, and just before they put him on the cross, he would have shaken them off like feathers, and he said, I think I'll just let you all suffer instead. Is that Christ? No. He got on that cross. And not only did he get on the cross, but his Father that loves you, his Father that sent him, looked away while they crucified his only beloved Son, his only begotten Son. He looked away. And Jesus knew he looked away. Could you do that? Could you just look away for the sake of multitudes? I couldn't. I'm glad he did. We can't look away from people who need a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords. And we can't offer them anything but the goodness of God. Because freely you've received, now freely give. That's something to stand on. Amen. Heavenly Father, turn us into unshakable, immovable, rock solid believers. Believers in you, believers in what you can do, and use us as ready mouthpieces to tell anyone and everyone that has ears to hear, God's good. God loves you.
God has great plans for you. We ask this, Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.